And our next presenter is Sonia Seguera at Washington University in St. Louis. She is a Master of Social Work and Master of Public Health candidate. So come on up.
So today I will be talking about the effectiveness of built environment interventions using web cameras. And I have no financial personal relationships to disclose. So the built environment is associated with increases in physical activity, and as such it's an increasingly common approach to health promotion. And an example of this is in New York City. Over the last 5 years, they've built over 300 miles of bike lanes. However, a challenge with these types of interventions is in measuring them, both before and after and over time. And one of the reasons for this is these types of evaluations tend to be very costly. As such, there's little data on the actual usage of built environment interventions, such as crosswalks and bike lanes, especially at a larger scale. Perhaps because of this, few research studies evaluate the effectiveness of built environment interventions over time. However, a few studies have used emerging technologies to do so, and these include infrared cameras, inductive loops, and video imagery. And these evaluations are also subject to moderators such as seasonality and weather. So in this presentation, I have three main objectives. My first is to discuss emerging technologies such as web cameras and crowdsourcing in the evaluation of the built environment. The second is to use this tool to examine how seasonal differences can moderate the relationship between physical activity and the built environment. And finally, I'd like to discuss opportunities for surveillance and analysis. So the first component of our tool was the Archive of Many Outdoor Scenes, which is developed by a computer scientist at Washington University, and it uses a Google custom web crawler to find images that are publicly available on the web and aggregate them into a database, and it's been available since 2006. And currently it has over 400 million images, all of outdoor scenes, and it was originally used to look at seasonal differences of when the leaves change and when fall becomes winter, that type of thing. And then we discovered there was lots of people in these images, and so that it could be used for other purposes as well. And so because it's been available since 2006, and many of the cameras are at traffic intersections, many of these images have experienced a built environment change. And I focused on two cameras at intersections in Washington, D.C. And if you look at this specific image, you can see the addition of a crosswalk in the back part of the image. The second component of our tool was to use crowdsourcing to count the number of pedestrians, vehicles, and bicyclists in every image so that we would have counts of usage data. And we did this through the website Amazon Mechanical Turk, which is a branch of Amazon.com. And it's for simple tasks that have not yet been automated by a computer that can be done easily by anyone, basically. And so any individual with an Amazon.com account can log into Amazon Mechanical Turks, or MTurks for short, find a task that interests them, and complete it for a small amount of money. And then on the flip side, anyone, again, with an Amazon account can upload a task that they would like done. And depending on who completes it, it can be completed in less than an hour. Our data set took about 3 days in total. And these workers have been found to be reliable. And other examples of these tasks include surveys, psychological experiments, and testing of iPhone apps. So our specific task had MTurks workers see this image, and they found the people, bikes, and cars in each image and outlined them with a box around them. And then a computer science PhD converted this data of the outlines into counts per image. And they also answered some basic questions about the image, like if there was construction or if for some reason they couldn't do the counting, if there was too much rain on the camera, or if the image was garbled or broken. So each image was counted by four workers, and this was determined to be the optimal number of people in a separate study, and they were paid 2 cents an image. The tasks generally take under 90 seconds to complete for each task. We had 12,000 images for the two cameras, and they were pulled from May 2007 to December 2008, between Monday through Friday because of the peak flow of traffic, and every half an hour between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And overall, there was an average of a little over one pedestrian per image. So looking at both of the cameras, I didn't find any significant differences before and after the addition of the crosswalk. However, in prior studies, we had looked at a two-week sample and found there to be a difference. So we decided to look across all of the months and see if there were any differences there. And looking monthly, there were significant differences. And one interesting part of this was that in temperatures that were colder or hotter, so the extremes of the spectrum, those months had significantly fewer pedestrians. And you can see this is the case with July and November, for example. And so focusing in on these 2 months, I wanted to look and see if there was a specific impact of the addition of the crosswalk. And these months that had lower walking in general had higher numbers of pedestrians after the addition of the crosswalk. Finally, we looked at the impact of precipitation before and after the built environment change using data on the weather from the National Weather Service that was matched to the timestamp of every image. And overall, as would be expected, when there was rain, there was significantly fewer pedestrians. And in one camera, with the addition of a crosswalk, this difference was no longer significant. Which could suggest, based off of these preliminary findings, that a crosswalk and increases in walkability can increase the number of pedestrians in situations that would generally deter them. So these findings have several important implications for the field. The first is that this tool could be used in urban planning and built environment evaluations. And then the seasonal differences underscore when we decide to evaluate, especially since we had differences from our first study and this one, that our time frame is especially important for our findings. And additionally, the preliminary findings show how the built environment can serve as a facilitator for physical activity during inclement weather. There are several limitations to both our data set and this present study. The first is that we look at one specific intersection and one specific crosswalk. And crosswalks rarely get built just one at a time. It's usually many in a neighborhood, and that affects overall walkability. And we're unable to evaluate that overall walkability and the aggregate change in all of those intersections. Secondly, we're limited to the images that are publicly available. And with the present study, my original hypothesis and intention was to compare an entire year before the built environment change and an entire year after. However, the data and the images weren't always available for those first 6 months. And this is especially the case with Washington, D.C., in that in the last 5 years, all of these images were publicly available, but starting in 2013, they are not. So if there was a built environment change today, we would be unable to evaluate it. And then another limitation is that we don't have demographic information for any of the counts. So we don't have information on who these people are. That made our IRB a little bit easier in that privacy is not a concern, and in 99% of the photos we couldn't tell who the people were. And for future studies, we'd like to expand past the 12 cameras that were studied thus far. I'd like to look at specific geographic regions in hotter and colder climates and look at the impact there. Additionally, Washington, D.C. is a very walkable city, and so it would be a good idea to look at areas that are less walkable, such as Atlanta, that are more car-centric and see what the impact of these changes are there. We're also working on ways to optimize the crowdsourcing. As I mentioned earlier, we found that 4 people was the best amount for the number of MTurks workers. We'd also like to look at the time periods that we choose. So the photos were pulled twice every hour, but it's possible that it's better that it's every 15 minutes or once every hour. And finally, we'd like to explore the ways that it can be used in practice. And our eventual hope and long-term plan is that in 5 to 10 years, a computer program could detect the outlines that need to be made for pedestrians, vehicles, and bicyclists, and this algorithm could be given to urban planners and city planning departments so that they could then track specific interventions. Thank you for your attention.